So you decide if this is from God or not. I think it is. And I think that you need a tool. And there's a tool in here. The name of today's message is called "He Restoreth My Soul." Of course, you recognize that as the third verse of the 23rd Psalm. Okay, and I quoted it from the King James Version, "He restoreth my soul." Okay, he leads me into paths of righteousness for his own name's sake. It continues with that. But I focus on the part that he restores my soul. Before going very far, if the Bible says that he restores our soul, there's two things that are true. Our soul may need restoration. Our soul may need restoration, number one. And number two, okay, the restorer is not me. My soul may need restoration, but the restorer is not me. My friends, this is an actual big, important truth embedded in that little verse right there. And I hope to be able to illustrate that for you based on today's readings. In today's reading, which is a dual reading, Parashat Hukat and Balak, we see that in Balak, when the king of Moab saw the huge host of Israelites coming out of Egypt, he tried to hire a prophet named Balaam to curse Israel. Please note that nuclear weapons they didn't have an army or an air force. If he had it, he'd have used it. So instead, he called for the greatest weapon there is and tried to hire a prophet that supposedly serving Adonai to curse the people of Adonai. How effective is that? For a moment, think about what I'm saying. You're talking about somewhere from a minimum of 1 million to possibly 6 million people are coming through. And this king is nervous about that. Because anytime there's a big force coming into your borders, you would get nervous about it in that part of the world. And he doesn't have enough resources to go attack him himself. So he's going to hire somebody to curse them. I would like to ask you how effective is that? Because in our society, in our world, that doesn't seem to be effective at all. That's, you know, baloney. Well, evidently this guy doesn't think it's baloney. And the Lord doesn't either, by the way. As this prophet called Balaam was traveling, his donkey suddenly stopped and refused to go forward. Balaam became furious. The scripture says he became furious and got in a rage and began beating his donkey with a rod. One of those places in the Bible, right? One of those. The donkey spoke. The donkey speaks to Balaam and essentially makes the appeal, "Why are you beating me? Haven't I been your faithful donkey all these years?" But don't miss the adjectives. The adjective was that Balaam became furious. He became furious and got in a rage. Stop that thought for a moment. Hold it. Hold it, Daddy. Hold it. Since anger is a result of accumulated tension, then what accumulated tension could have possibly caused Balaam to have this kind of level of anger? We think it has to be big, by the way. Except I'm familiar with that and know that it doesn't have to be big at all. Now let me go back and review for you. When Balaam first asked permission from Adonai to go curse Israel, Adonai forbade him. So, what is the answer? Should I go curse Israel? No, no, 1,000, a million, a gazillion no's. Is he going to change his mind? Is Adonai known for giving a decision and then changing his mind? However, okay, Balak, who had sent a delegation, because Balak didn't go himself. The king didn't go himself. He sent a delegation to him. He sent a bigger delegation. Okay, so instead of a bag of gold, maybe it's two bags of gold now, or three. My friends, it's money. Come on now. Come on now. There is money, prestige, and all this stuff. He sends them back to Balak to implore him to do this. Now, Balaam already heard from God. What was the answer? What happens if you pester God about having your own way? I tell you what happens. It's in the Bible. In Psalm 106, verse 15, here's what happened. Quote, Adonai gave him or them their request, the desire of their heart, but sent leanness into his or their soul. Let me read that, because this is one of those sobering scriptures in the Bible. You can pester enough, okay, that he might grant you your request, but he can send leanness into your soul. What does that mean? Let me just say what it did do. This leanness produces guilt. Because any time that Adonai wants you to not to do a certain thing, he has a constraint for you. And we just don't, no, but what, blah, 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 blah. And we are convinced this is what I got to have. You know, you don't understand God. Because you're not omnipotent and you're not omniscient or anything like that right now. You're kind of hard of hearing. And you're not hearing what I'm trying to say. This is going to be good for me. It's a selfish thing. What happens if you get your way? I'm sorry. I am really. Please forgive me. You may have to carry me out of here. You know, the worst thing about it is that somebody said, be careful what you pray, because you might get it. I've heard that here. What happens if you get your way instead of Adonai's way? What happens if you get your way? Isn't your soul, isn't your conscience going to go, you weren't supposed to? Or maybe I'm the only person who has gone to the Lord with my big idea and what I was supposed to do and pressed and pressed and pressed until it seems like he answered it and said, okay. And then inside and going like, I beat him. Well, you know, you can make that statement in the Talmud But we don't believe in that, any of that baloney. So, really? You're going to beat him, right? Ain't no way, Jose, okay? There's no way, Jose. Therefore, what happens when you do get your way? If you press and press, let me have it. He gives it to you. The Bible says the leanness. That leanness means there's something that happens in the soul, which is the mind, the will, and emotions of a person. Think for a moment what I'm saying. And what usually happens is you get guilt. I shouldn't have. Maybe you start going back and forth. Oh, I should have. I shouldn't have. I should have and I shouldn't have. My friends, that can happen in all kinds of things in life. Maybe I shouldn't say, huh? Maybe I'll step on some toes here. I'm not talking about going to curse the children of Israel. Maybe I'm talking about a job. Or maybe I'm talking about a degree. Maybe I'm talking about a person. Maybe the Lord is wanting us to wait on something and we just push, and you know, it'll seem like the dates are okay, and all of these God things start happening. Well, the problem was that the minute that the Lord gave, Adonai gave Satan to have jurisdiction over Job, what happened? Read it. Instantaneously, there's an army and there's this. And I mean, Satan had the ability to organize all kinds of stuff to test Job. And I tell you what, he wanted to win. So, what am I saying? Maybe the Lord, we pester and pester to get our way. And the enemy comes in and now organizes all kinds of things to ensure that you do get your way. And we're just going to blame God for those. Oh, you see, I have this thing that happened. And then I have this other thing that happened. Well, my friends, when you get to the level of Job, so this expressed, this leanness, this guilt becomes then the basis in which he starts beating his donkey. It caused anger because it's like, what are you holding back? I'm going to go get what I... He said it was okay, but I couldn't curse him, but I could go. So why go? It's okay. The Lord said, yeah, go ahead, make my day. He got the 44 Magnum, and he's ready. Go ahead, make my day. And you just go like the person that's playing Clint Eastwood opposite. They went ahead and made his day in the movie. Didn't go real good. So, Balaam lost his cool. Got in a rage, and the minute anything was holding back, animal, whatever, it's time to take matters into my own hands. However, that's not all that happened in this parasha. In the first part, it's Hukat, where we see the leader of Israel get just a little bit aggravated. You know, 38 years of complaining. It comes to year 39 and month 11 or something of that sort. And here they are bitching again. and complaining and murmuring. Hey, come on, that was settled back in Numbers 14 and it was settled again in Numbers 16. What in the world? Look, a bunch of the old people are dead. These are the young people, so they never really had an opportunity to murmur and complain before. But to Moses, it didn't seem like this was a different kind of group. It seemed like the same group. And when the Lord showed mercy upon the complaining new generation, Moses got a little bit upset. Just a little upset. And takes the rod and said, shall we bring water out of this rock? Wham! Oh, he got the water, didn't he? Did the water not come? Abundantly. Enough water to feed, you know, six million, 5 million, three, I don't care what million you want. It's a bunch of people and cattle. I've heard that it takes like 100 railroad cars, tankers, per day. So I'm talking about some real water here. So what happened? Adonai says to Moses, buddy, you are the anointed leader. Buddy, I called you. Buddy, I knew you from birth. Buddy, the Bible's going to eventually write that there was no one more meek than you. Etc., etc., etc. But you did not sanctify me in front of the people. You took matters into your own hands and did something I didn't ask you to do. Like you can usurp the authority and cause it to happen. Well, it did happen. But it wasn't the way he wanted. It wasn't the way that it was planned. So, the scriptures, Moses lost his cool. He got angry. And what was the result of his anger? Bye, bye, Miss American Pie. You are not going to the promised land. That's the connection. There are consequences when this happens. And the consequences when anger is allowed to turn into wrath, then it goes beyond just consequences and it becomes a gigantic spiritual problem. Because you have enabled the forces of evil and they're not playing. At that point, willpower is not sufficient. At that point, the mind, the will, and the emotions have leanness sent to them, and they are unable to do what otherwise we'd have been able to do. And in order to get rid of the consequences and what's actually happening to both of these people, they're going to have to engage in something called spiritual warfare. And you can just take my word for it. I'm going to try to show it to you. You're not just going to overcome by, well, I'm not going to get angry no more. How many times have you said that? How many times people in this congregation have said that? I'm not going to get angry anymore. I've got to figure it out. I'm not going to do it. But if you have gone beyond before, if you have gone across the threshold and actually have caused Adonai to hand you what it is you wanted, oh, didn't the children of Israel want to go back to Egypt? didn't the one say if we, you know, I said, our kid's going to die here in the desert and all that. You remember what Marilyn and I talked about 2 weeks ago. Come on now. Come on now. Let me tell you about the book that talks about spiritual warfare. Do you know what it is? Ephesians. Well, the same book says the following. It tells you not to go to bed angry. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down before you have dealt with the cause of your anger. Otherwise, you leave room. The word there is better translated foothold. You leave a foothold for the adversary. We know that as ground. A foothold is ground. That same book, this is in chapter 4 of Ephesians. In chapter 6 of Ephesians says, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the worldly forces of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." So, let me summarize for you. Every time you allow the sun to go down upon your wrath, before you have dealt with the cause of your anger, please read the Amplified on this verse. It's not that you dealt with the cause of your anger when you said, oh, well, I'm not going to be angry anymore. You haven't. That's not the cause. The Bible's not talking about, okay, well, I made Joe mad, Kim, so let me just right now cuddle up with him and say, please forgive me. And of course, newlywed, he's going to say, yes, honey, I forgive you. And you think, I got it. I got it. I'm here to tell you that what was the cause of that anger burst? Because that's what you got to deal with. The Greek word that's translated ground or foothold actually means jurisdiction. It is a legal term. I had hoped TJ was here today. Told Sam as much. But she's not here. So if she had been here, I had asked her the following question. Suppose that I have 10 acres fenced. It's mine. I have the deed and everything. And he's got signs that said, do not trespass or I'll shoot you to death, you know, whatever. Okay? And then suppose that you allow some squatters to come in. So you decide that, okay, that group of Mexicans and that group of Puerto Ricans and that group of, you know, they can go ahead and stay in this land. And you let them come in. Except that they come in and they set up their own little island. They create Puerto Rico in your land. I'm talking about Puerto Ricans, so you don't get mad at me, okay? I'm Puerto Rican too. And then they like dogs, so they have dogs. And then the dog comes over and poops in your front yard. And they have cats over, and the cats come in and kill your bird. So maybe you're not really enjoying, but you gave permission. So what do you have to do to get rid of them, get them to leave? You say, well, I own the land. Is it just that you go in and say, leave? I wanted TJ to answer that. Okay, let me tell you what I think happens. When squatters are allowed to set up camp, and they have camp there, you can't evict them instantaneously. Any more than you can evict someone that doesn't pay your rent in zero amount of time. The law says you have to give them 30 days. Your brother reminded us of that the other day. In Georgia. That means that there is a process. That means that it's not going to happen instantaneously. And the thing that I need you to understand is that whenever you're trying to remove squatters from a property, even though it's your property, you didn't give them the property, you just gave them the right to squat. And if they set up something and you want to get rid of them, you're not just going to be able to, out of your own chutzpah, leave and get all the guns and whatever. Because the answer is if you do, they're going to come get you. Because now you're going to have to the court. You're going to have to go to the court. And you're going to have to do a legal process to evict people. Because the judge is going to say, well, how did you get in there? To which you're going to answer, I gave them permission. You gave them permission. So now what's the problem? You gave them permission. Well, I don't like them. They're dog poops. They, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I don't like the music they play. I don't like the smell of what they're cooking. I just don't like them. They're ugly. It's my land. I want my land back. And the law says you are entitled to your land back. But it's not going to happen mañana. There's going to be a process, and you're going to need to get a lawyer, and that process is going to have to come before me, and I have to be fair to the squatters. How do you like that? How do you like that? When you give the enemy a foothold, Jacob, can you go to the website? Or can you go to the direct, to the folder in that computer called Messages? It's under Arroyo at the higher folder. Called Simcha, second high. Messages. Arroyo called Simcha Messages. Find 2023. Find the today's PDF, which is herestoresmysoul.pdf. And I want you to show the picture that's in there, if you can. But I trust you. I think you're really good at what you do. What happens is, this is kind of like a picture. Look at this picture. This is a picture of your soul, drawn as a square grid. And that's your soul. And what's happening in your soul is you've given permission for squatters to come in. And when they came, they came with tents, and they came with this, and they came with that, and they came with the other, and they built a little city. Okay? Except that the squatters in this case are from Satan. And they don't just build a little city, they build a castle. And they build something called a fortitude. We have these English these words in the United States for this. So the adversary has right to build his stuff there. As long as he goes back into his castles, he can do nothing. In fact, God can't do anything. Oh, man. God can't do anything because it's whose soul is it? That's like the judge asking, did you actually get permission? Yes, I did. Okay, well then. Then they have a right to be there. Now you want to revoke the right, a procedure is going to have to take place. On these footholds, they're called in Christianity strongholds. In these strongholds, the adversary has legal rights to build false ideas, castles of false ideas, and use it as a base of operation. And guess what? He sends out little imps and demons that go out. And based on that, they come in and agitate you like the dog coming from there pooping in your front yard. I'm trying to use an example so you can get it. They come in and torment you. They torment your soul. They use it as a base of operation. And they give you destructive emotions. What destructive emotions? Well, the exact emotions that Moses had over there in God and Balaam had in Parashat Balak. Oh, tension will go up. You can get then depression after that. And there are habits that come from that. And unexplained anger. How about wrath? How about lust? How about self-rejection? How about insomnia? How about high blood pressure? How about heart disease? The problem is that many, many people in the body of Messiah are clueless. I put this word unaware. And then I put in parentheses clueless. What I really wanted to put was clueless. They're clueless about a nice method to recover this ground. But you got to recover the ground in order to evict the squatters. The authority over the ground has to be recovered. The soul, it no longer has that. It was given away. Who can restore the soul? Okay. The first question I want to ask is the surrendered ground recoverable? Well, he wouldn't have Psalm 23, verse 3, if it wasn't. Okay? So, yes. But the problem is that removing the enemy from a given jurisdiction requires a legal procedure. So what is the legal procedure? I'm going to share it with you in a short period of time. This is a 5-step biblical procedure, legal procedure, to recover what's yours anyway. Don't look at me like I'm some kind of an idiot from some kind of a planet. I want to remind us all that we are victims of our own folly. We are victims of our own stupidity. We're victims. I'm not calling us stupid. I'm saying we're victims of it. We're victims of all kinds of things like our own lusts and our own desire. We're not that different from Balaam. That's why it's given for us. And we're not that different from Moses, who also lost some things. But he evidently is able to get back in the right place. So, here it is, 5 steps. Step one for everything. Can you tell me step one? Confess. Isn't there a different procedure here? No. Confess. Confess the sins that cause the anger. Not the anger. Oh, I'm just mad. No. Confess the sin, the situation, whatever it is inside that caused that. Not that. You can confess that too. Okay? Confess the poop in the front of the... But you really want to get rid of the dog that put the poop there, right? Hello? I don't know how else to tell it to you. For this step, you need to stop thinking about the reasons you got angry. And stop blaming everybody else. And stop going over the process, but I did this and I did that. Stop it. What caused the anger? We must trace it back to the original root. Bruce Wilkinson used to go, you start going through the rope. See where it leads you. When you get to the end of the rope, that's it. You have to trace the anger back to the root that produced the tension that caused the guilt that brought about the anger. By the way, that is the sin you have to confess. Okay, if you want to confess all the peripherals, okay, it's like confessing the salad. You can confess the bread. And you can confess the butter. And you can confess the corn on the cob. And you can confess, you know, but you're not going to confess the barbecue, the main dish. You got to confess the main dish. What's the deal? Oh, he doesn't know. Duh. We don't know. Whenever you do that, then you will be able to put away all anger. Because that's what Paul said, put away all anger. Later, beyond chapter 4. Wrath and malice, and show kindness to one another and forgiveness. That's beyond Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. We need to be specific. Yeah. What is the problem? Sometimes the problem is simple. I have ambition. I want to be. Whenever you start, you hear the word I too many times, you know you're getting close. It's that. It needs to be specific. What did we read today? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. Marilyn quoted that in the opening prayer. He be merciful. Number two. So what's step number one? Okay, what's step number one? Okay, you're going to forget it? Confess. Okay, number two. Claim the power of the blood of Messiah Yeshua. Claim the power of the blood. You see, we're all guilty of breaking Adonai's commandments. How do we do that? We do that with anger. We do that with lust. We do that with all kinds of related sins. And what happens is we're deserving of everything the Torah said should happen when we do that. However, Adonai, who created us, loved us so much that he sent his son, his only begotten son, that whosoever but believe in him will not perish but have life everlasting. So he came to be an atonement. Don't go like that. Don't go there because Sam's going to squish that thing by the time Yom Kippur comes. He came to redeem us. Say it correctly. He came to redeem us. How did he do that? He did that by dying. This redemption is effective only if we receive it. Hello? So how can we do that? We can do that by confessing to Adonai that we cannot save ourselves, that we can't buy ourselves back, and that thank you that you sent your son to redeem me from the hands of Satan. And your son was the full payment for the sin. The debt is paid. We need to say, I cannot save myself. But I'm receiving Yeshua as full payment for my sin. John 3:16. Adonai hears that prayer, and John 3:16 says that he will give you, grant you eternal life. When you have eternal life and you are now a son, you have the adoption of sons, you're the children of Abraham, all that stuff becomes in place. Now you can claim the blood of Yeshua for specific areas where we have yielded ground to Satan in our soul. The Bible states, they, the believers, overcame him, the adversary, by the blood of the Lamb. And the words of our testimony about the blood of the Lamb. Not a word about testimony about the Gators. Or the Atlanta Braves. Or no. What's the testimony about? Hey, I was in sin. That's not the testimony. Who cares what you were? What are you now? That's what really matters. And by the word of their testimony. So what's second? Step two. Came the power of the blood. Okay, what's step one? Don't look. What's step two? Okay, that's pretty easy. It's in the Bible, right? Number three. Since you can't recover your own soul, then ask him to restore your soul. As a believer, you claim the Messiah Yeshua is payment for the specific sins that you did to give ground to Satan. But when you actually apply the blood to your confessed sin that is now forgiven, then the Bible says he restores your soul. But my friend, you got to ask. What you want God to do is to recover your soul, the ground that you gave to Satan, so that you have control of it again. So you go to the judge and say, I want my land back. I may be totally off here because TJ isn't here to set me right, okay? But you got to go back to the judge and say, look, it's my land. I want it back. And the judge has to issue an order saying, yes, it's your land. It won't happen instantaneously, but eventually you will get your land back. The judge of heaven doesn't have to meet those criteria. And he can grant you your soul back. Whenever you have the ground back, whatever is in there now, you can tear it down. So you can tear down the false notions, the false ideas, which are called strongholds, that Satan has been constructing from your own soul. When you do a prayer like that, you are effectively resisting Satan. Resist Satan, he will flee from you. Go away. Go away, or I'm going to be mad. I'm going to call Marilyn. Okay, so Marilyn, she comes in and she really has the power. No. Oh, wait a minute. We would call evangelist so-and-so. Or we would go to da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm not trying to be negative here, but that's the thought. Oh, well, let's get so-and-so. Let's get so-and-so. Hey, you don't really need so-and-so. You just need the so-and-so. The guy, the Lord, resist the devil and he will flee from you. It is important to remember we cannot take this ground back, but Adonai can. Say that with me. I cannot take the ground back, but Adonai can. Therefore, step three, ask him to take it back. Ask him to recover it for you. He's an expert at recovery. That's part of the expertise in being redeemer. The word redeemer involves a recovery. Listen to me, what I'm saying. Redeemer involves a recovery. He's an expert at recovery. Now, are you done? The answer is, that's what I thought. The PT guy said, five of those. And I said, five of those? Awesome. And I did five. And I was getting up to go, and he said, no, I'm not done. Now you need to do everything you've done, two more repetitions of it. And then you can leave. I loved him at that time. He said, I know you don't like me right now. I didn't say a word. I just said, okay, I'll do what you ask. Because it's good for me. For every area, every sin, in every situation, for every one of those squares that have been given to Satan, go back and confess. Maybe that leftmost square, the one on the right in the front there, the one on the right in the front has to do with your parents. Maybe the one in the back has to do with your husband and your wife. Maybe the one on the right there has to do with a neighbor. I don't know. Don't lump them all. The Lord wants to hear. Oh, yeah? What do you want me to recover? I said it all. Okay. Well, let's go detail by detail, square by square, inch by inch, and recover it at all. And he will. Number four. Once you recovered the ground and you have the legal paper that says you can evict these people. Once you can evict them, then you can go down and tear down whatever they leave behind. So you can tear down the strongholds of Satan, but when you tear something down, you have to replace it, or there's going to be a hole. So what are you going to replace it with? Here it is. Obedience to Messiah. Step number four. Tear the strongholds. Come on. Tear the strongholds and replace them with obedience to Messiah. Scripture assures us that we can tear down the strongholds of Satan and replace them with obedience to Messiah. Here's the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. For the weapons of our warfare are not flesh, but powerful through God. For the tearing down of strongholds, we are tearing down false arguments and every high-minded thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, against Yeshua. We are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Messiah. Don't cut it short. The last step is really important, the replacement step. I am no longer going to think that way. I don't want to anymore grant any squatters anything, especially Satan's squatters. And the way we do that is with the obedience of Messiah. Obedience is the word Shema. Oh boy, I need to finish because I'm getting late. Last step. Memorize and quote personalized scripture for you. They're called Ramas. Memorize and quote Ramas, personalized scripture, against the enemy. In other words, fight the way Yeshua fought. So, it is written, he said, that he will take charge of you if you jump from here. The angels will take charge of you. And Yeshua said, yes. And it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He quoted the book of Deuteronomy. How many Ramas do you have? Okay, we ought to have some. Okay. Scripture contains many promises. This is the deal. Marilyn's always talking about this. Many promises for us as believers. When you go through steps like this, there will be a scripture that the Holy Spirit allows it to jump out of the page. And it becomes personal. Those are the ones. Those are your special weapons. You know, you're 007 here. You're going to have a car, and you're going to have this gun, and you're going to have this, and you're going to have a briefcase with this, and that's what I'm talking about. Let me give you an example. I'm done. Therefore, you are without excuse, O man, every one of you who is judging. For by whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. But for you who judge, practices the same things. Oh, this is wonderful scripture. I love it. Romans 2:1, how you personalize that. Therefore, Tony Arroyo, you are without excuse. Yes, you, Tony Arroyo, and everyone who is judging. For by whatever measure, Tony Arroyo, you judge one another. Tony, you condemn yourself. For you, Tony, judge others while practicing the same things. Isn't that like a great scripture? Here's another. They happen to be from Romans because it's like, Romans was written for men. Yeah. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Okay. Here's another. What shall we say then, Tony? Is Tony going to continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. No way, Jose. How can Tony, who died to sin, live any longer in sin? I used to teach this to men. I say, here's how it works. Stand against that wall right there. Okay? You're dead. You're dead to sin. Okay, well, let me bring a sin out here. And bring a girly picture. Oh, I would get things like, don't show me that. To which I would reply, I thought you were dead. I thought you were dead to that sin. So why are you doing looking? Or teaching young men about masturbation or whatever. Not playing any games, you know. You can bring Sophia Loren. You can bring whatever, Marilyn Monroe. I have Marilyn, but Marilyn Monroe. Bring it right in front of me, and I'm dead to this sin. That sin. And it doesn't matter what Marilyn Monroe says, wears, what she looks like, nothing. Because it's irrelevant to me, because I'm dead to that sin. You talk about the actual power to overcome is when you start personalizing what the scripture says. You got some power now. Last one. I, Tony, can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. Well, usually, if everything's going great, that's an awesome scripture. But when you are confronted with having to do something that is really hard, such as what I did to you today, you're confronted with having to do something really hard that's in the Word, it doesn't feel good. So what are you going to say? Tell yourself, I can do all things That means I can do what God wants me to do. I can forgive this person. I can ask forgiveness. I can humble myself in the sight of the people and God, and he will lift me up. The people may kick me, but the Lord will lift me up. Here's another one. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. What does that mean? We're going to set up a flag. Okay, whatever. Okay. You know what the standard is? The scripture. The standard is the scripture. When the enemy comes in like a flood, take comfort in the scripture. It's mine. I'm that person. When I have insomnia, I pray. And I say to the Lord, it says that you give your beloved sleep. The problem is I'm not much of a beloved. So in my own merit, I don't deserve any of that. However, I accepted Yeshua as my Savior. And because of that, I have now the adoption of sons. I'm a children of Abraham because of Yeshua. Therefore, can I just go ahead and say, well, you're a stupid idiot. You don't deserve any of that. Well, actually, I don't. But the guy that has Yeshua covered him, the guy that has Yeshua as redeemed, that Yeshua redeemed him, he can go before the Lord and say, for the sake of Yeshua, give it to me. And it has not failed to work for me. All right, you guys don't. The standards that you raise against the enemy are the scriptures that you have memorized and personalized. Five steps. Step one. Step two. There's power in the blood. There's power. Okay. Step three. Let the Lord to recover the ground. Step four. Oh, so we want God to give us a land, but you take care of the enemy. And he's like, Judge, I want you to recover the land for me. Okay, I'll give you the land back. Now I want you, Judge, to go and clean it up. To which a judge would say, whose idea was it to grant it in the first place? Who's responsible here? The county is not responsible for your personal property. I give it back to you. You're responsible. You clean it. Okay? What if you have to serve power orders to those people? I can do that. My order is right here. I can send the sheriff to serve papers. So you don't have to. So tear down the stuff that's there. And five, get a standard. Get scriptures. Arm yourself with the briefcase and the car that shoots this. You know, like James Bond, man. The first thing that they do in the movie is show him this. He go like, huh? If you open it this way, it opens correctly. If you open it the other way, it blows up. If you open it this way, you get a knife. If you open it the other way, you get something else. You know, and it looks like Sean Connery, the early James, the real James Bond, looking at it and say, like, really? And then in the movie, every time he gets in trouble, he comes up with an idea to use that briefcase or that. Even if it didn't work too good, he used it anyway. That's part of the movie. Did that continue in the rest of the movie, Sammy? Yes? Sammy is a real James Bond person. So he was always given tools. And part of the movie is those tools, huh? That's what we like. What's his tool? What's he going to do with it? How is he going to get out of trouble with that? Well, that's exactly what you need to do. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you will do that, you will overcome. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony about what the blood's done for you, and because you're not so concerned about your own self and your own life, and you're ready to give it as an offering. Stand, please.